Appreciate the Kenya singing for us tonight. Makes you realize how important missions really is. It's not in vain for those that carry the gospel and don't know we'll never know the end results till we get to heaven. And then there we'll find out. There'll be many people there because some missionary paid the price. Went, but somebody prayed, somebody gave so they could go, and somebody stood behind them and with them, and I'm thankful to have a part in that, and I thank God for the reality of what God does in missions. I think Brother Tim said something about this noise we're having in the sound system, nothing we can do about it as I know of right now. Unless we take a stick of dynamite and blow it apart. You want to leave first. Brother Gary said he wanted to leave first. He quit. Amen. But it'll be all right. John chapter 7. I'm not going to read all I read this morning, but same, picking up on the message I preached part of this morning. We'll try to finish that up tonight. Like I said, you never get it all exhausted. You never get through preaching it. But you simply endeavor to do that that God's laid on your heart. John chapter 7, verse number 45. Will you stand, please? John 7:45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees. And they said unto them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Never man spake like this man. That's a subject we're using today. And I pray God help us tonight. Let's bow our heads just for a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, for the privilege of the wonder story that has been told around the world. And Father, somebody went to Kenya one day and told them about Jesus. Others gone to other parts of the world. Thank God somebody came to us one day and told us about the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise your name and give you glory for all that you've ever done for us. And Father, tonight I realize there's folk in this house that are hurting. They have physical needs, and I pray for them. Ask you to help them. I pray, God, for those that have spiritual needs, that your Holy Spirit speak to their heart, deal with their life, convict and draw by your power. Then, Father, there's some tonight that's with family in the hospital. There's some that's looking very difficult for them right now. But I pray in Jesus' name for divine touch of God, according to your will. And I realize, God, that you do all things well. Even when we don't understand, you're still doing it well. And we praise you and thank you for it. I ask you now in Jesus' name, you'd help us as we stand here. I pray for the power of God to be upon us, touch us to preach. And I pray, Father, to touch every heart and mind to hear. And we'll praise you for all you do. I plead the blood, claim that victory. In Jesus, my Lord and my Savior, amen and amen. You may be seated. Tonight, as we look at this portion of Scripture, thinking about never man spake like this man. And I tried this morning to give an introduction about this man, but the greatest man that has ever existed, I said this morning, unique man, the only one of its kind. And he is only one of his kind. There's nothing, nobody ever been like him. And he's God in flesh. And he still is God in flesh. He's resurrected body, glorified, ascended bodily form, coming back in bodily form, by the way. Hallelujah for that. I'm glad he's coming back. And any day now may be the day that he'll make the shout and the crowd be made come up hither, and we'll head out of here and go home and meet him. Won't it be good to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior? We've never seen him literally down here, but in the Word of God we see him. We see him by an eye of faith. We feel him in our hearts. We know he's in presence in the service, and it's just good to think about the day that we shall see him and behold him and look upon him. Have you ever really thought about looking upon him that loved you and died for you, rose for you, and thought about him that has watched over you and cared for you and let you hear the gospel and spoke to you one day that peace in your heart? How wonderful that'll be one day. I praise him and thank him today for the reality of seeing the blessed darling Savior. And I pray that God will help us. Now tonight, I'm going to try to move on with the message and try not to keep you. Well, I don't care how long I keep you, but I don't feel like standing here too long. But God always comes in on time. And sometimes when I think I don't feel like standing here very long, when God shows up in a special way, and I just forget about everything else. About the best I ever feel is in the pulpit anyway. Amen. Good place to be. I hate to keep y'all here all night, though. But Paul preached one night to midnight, and a fella fell out the window. They thought he was dead, and he went, it might have been, I don't know. But anyway, Paul went and got him up, brought him back in. So I bet you Tychus didn't go to sleep rest of the night. He found him a seat somewhere in the middle of the building and said, I'm not falling out that window again. I bet you on that. This morning we talked about this, never man spake like this man. And I remember one time Herod was making a speech in the Bible, and they cried out, it's the voice of a God. They magnifying this man of that great orator that he seemed to be in that day. But the Bible said God let the worms eat him up right there on the spot, and he died. I want you to know, never man spake like this man I'm talking about. There's been men made great speeches. They've been men that have said great things. But nobody has ever spoke like the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning I said he spake in creation, and he did. He's the very one that said, let there be, and there was. He spake in creation. No man's ever done that. No man can do that. But this man did. As a child, he spoke as no other child has ever spoken. He sat in the temple there with those people in that day, answering their questions. He was amazing them at his understanding of the scripture and his answers he was giving to their questions and asking them questions. And so what an amazing child he was. His children up here a while ago singing, they're amazing children. I love every one of them. And where's Jerry? She took him out. I can't even think of his name. What's his name? JJ. Yeah. I started calling him Jacob, but it's JJ. JJ, he comes from a home. I don't know what kind of a home, but they have him in their home now trying to help that boy. I'd rather see him up here take a run for the choir than I would be out there somewhere being mistreated. Amen. I'd rather see that little fella stand there and point over there and say, there's a preacher, than I would see him somewhere in a home that didn't love him, didn't care, and beat around. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, that little boy can be in church. Thank God for it. Then these other little children around here, they're learning about Jesus. Every once in a while, some of them will draw me a picture, and they'll hand it to me. It'll be a cross and sometimes three crosses, and they're getting it. They're beginning to understand. They're coming along, and I say thank God for it. And some of these children amaze you what they can say. Scripture they can memorize. Our young minds are sponges, like just taking in everything. And they'll take in things they'll never forget. And I thank God for that. I praise God for that. But they've never been a child spoke like the child of the Lord Jesus Christ when he spoke that day in the temple. Never has been, never will be. Then I said he spoke in crises, in the storm when he was in the ship, and he stepped out and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. And there came a great calm. Let me say to you tonight, you're in a storm and it's raging in your life. Jesus is the only one that can step out and say, peace be still. Let there come a great calm. I'm glad, thank God, he can bring a calm. Amen. And let me say tonight, when we're talking about storms and situations, we may not understand what we're in. We may not understand why we're there. We may not know that. In fact, there's another time when Jesus sent the disciples to the other side. He stayed back and prayed, and they got in there in the storm. He had sent them into the storm, and yet they got out there, and they were afraid, and he came walking on the water. He stilled that storm also. What I'm trying to tell you is sometimes God allows us to go in the storm. He points us toward the storm. He wants us to go through the storm. You know what it did for those disciples? It helped their faith. It built them up. And they said, I've been in a storm before, and I know the one that can help us in this storm. Jesus can help us, amen. And there's other people going through storms that you can say, I know one that can help you, because he helped me one day. He can help you. Thank God for the storms that come. We don't thank him when we're in them. But the Bible says, give thanks for all things. If we're in the will of God, doing what God wants us to do, and the storm comes, it's for our good and his glory. And I say hallelujah for that. And don't get, storms either make you bitter or better. And you can get bitter at God, you can blame God for everything, or you can get closer to God, get sweeter in Jesus, and believe that God is on the throne and God's helping you, and give forth a sweet fragrance from your life that will affect others, that they too may realize that Jesus Christ is the answer for all their problems and cares. I thank God for that, amen. Then we talked about never man speak like this in conversion. He's the only one that can say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Only one can say, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let me say to you tonight, somebody sitting in the booth somewhere can't tell you your sins are forgiven. Hey, no preacher can tell you that your sins are forgiven. Hey, no man on earth can tell you that your sins are forgiven and forgive your sins. I can tell you the Bible says that he'll be forgiven if you'll come and repent and trust Jesus and ask him to save you. He will forgive you. I can tell you that. But I can't tell you your sins are forgiven, because I can't forgive sins. I'm not a sin forgiver, but I know one that is a sin forgiver. Amen. Jesus Christ, he said he would forgive, and I'm glad he does forgive. Aren't you glad he forgave you one day? Amen. You ought to went to hell. I ought to went to hell. But thank God Jesus came by one day and said, neither do I condemn thee. I praise his name. I'm glad for the day that Jesus came by and said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus Christ that speaks that forgiveness. Never man spake like this man. There's been other men around the world that have claimed deity and claimed all this stuff, and they might try to tell somebody their sins are forgiven. They might try to tell somebody they're going to everything be fine, but they don't know. They can't do that. They don't have the power. But thank God Jesus Christ has the power to forgive sin. And he does. Never man spake like this man. I'm so glad one day that man spake in my life. I'm glad one day he spake in heaven on my behalf. I'm glad tonight he's in heaven speaking on my behalf still. I say hallelujah. Never man spake like this man. You talk about a high priest. They've been high priests in the Old Testament and priests in the New Testament that are still carried over from the Jewish way. But I want you to know one thing. They never been a high priest like a high priest we've got. Hey, never been one speak like he spake. Aaron could speak good, and he did well as a priesthood. But I want you to know we have a high priest that no man's ever attained to. A great high priest, because he paid the debt, paid the sin debt. They don't have to kill a lamb today. They don't have to kill an ox today. They don't have to kill a heifer today. They just, it's already done in Christ Jesus our Lord. Every lamb slain, every blood sacrifice, every drop of blood has ever made in the Old Testament pointing toward Calvary. And thank God one day at Calvary, Jesus poured out his blood for our sin. He didn't spill it, he shed it. If you spill something, it's accident. If I knock over that cup of water tonight, that'll be an accident. But if I just pour it out, I'm doing it on purpose, amen. And he didn't spill his blood. He put it out on purpose. He let him crucify him. He could have called 10,000 angels and set him free. He could have just said the world disappear. He spoke it into existence. He could have spoken it out of existence. He gave the breath of life. He could have took it away from everybody around him and still been God. But he willingly, knowingly gave himself for our sin. And I say tonight, never man spake like this man, because he spake in forgiveness. And I say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me say now, I believe I'm about on the fifth one. Never man has confessed like this man confessed. I'm talking about not confessing sin now, not talking about that. I'm talking about confessing who he was and who he is. Never man done that. No man could do it because no man was what he is. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember when they come to get him and they come to take him by force. And of course, they didn't have to do that. He was ready to go. His time had come. And before that time, the Bible said they could not take him and lay hands on him because his time was not yet. But now his time had come and they were coming to get him, and he knew that. And they came to get him. And they said, whom seek ye? And they said, talked about Jesus of Nazareth. They came to seek him. He said, I am he. And you know what the Bible said? They fell. They went away backward and fell to the ground and laid down. You know what happened? He confessed that he was I am that I am. And that I am is one that's in the Old Testament speaking out of a burning bush. Those people came by. Moses was there. Not people came by, but Moses came by that burning bush. And voices, it was burning, wasn't consumed. And say, preacher, you really believe that? I believe there was a bush that was burning, but was not consumed. Amen. And Moses stood there and wondered at it. And then a voice came out of that bush and began to talk to Moses and tell him, I'm going to send you down to Egypt to lead my people out. And he said, well, who am I going to tell them sent me? He'd tell them, you tell them that I am, that I am, have sent you. Hallelujah. Can I say praise God? You know what I am means? It's simply I personal. And then it means am, being. I am, that I am. It was not I was, I shall be. It just is I am. An eternal present. With him there is no past, no future. He sees the future for us like we think of future. He sees that as well as he sees yesterday or right now. Ain't no difference to him because he's I am that I am. Hallelujah. I wish I could say that like I want to say that. I don't know how to say that like I want to say that. But he is the I am that I am. And he is the eternal one. He did not begin. He'll never end. He just is. And I say tonight, thank God, never man spake like that before. No man's ever spake and said, I am. I am. And have power and people falling backward. And I don't believe they'd ever got up off the ground if Jesus hadn't withdrew the power off of that I am. That word spoken like that had threw them to the ground. And you talking about, it looks like to me, now I'm not too bright anyway, but it looks like men when they fell to the ground, he said, I am. You would think, they would think, hey, something about this man we need to leave alone. But I'll tell you why they didn't. I am a little bit smarter than I thought it was. I'm going to say I didn't know why they wouldn't lay there, why they wouldn't run from it, but I'm pretty good, a little smarter than I think I am. Amen. Because most of the time I'm dumber than I think I am. But anyway, the reason why that was because his hour was now come. And those men's hearts were hardened. And they were full of the devil. And they were going to do what the devil wanted them to do. And God withdrew that power to keep them from laying there and taking away from their minds the thoughts of running. And they went ahead and took Jesus and crucified him. But no man has ever spake like this man and said, I am that I am. What a name. What a name. I'm glad I know that I am that I am. Men today seek to know everything. They want to know this and that. They want to know how to live forever. Come to know that I am. Eternal present one. You'll be eternal too. Amen. You'll be living forever and forever. That's knowing I am. I am. Praise God. If you don't get anything else tonight, I want you to go to bed tonight and say, he is I am. He is I am. He is I am. And I know him. He knows me. Hallelujah. I'm glad for that. Let me give you sixth thing tonight. I want you to know never man speak like this man in commandments. In commandments. When he made a command, it was real. The demons. I love this story. and I believe in Matthew's gospel, and it tells about when he went to Gadara, and the two men came out demon possessed, and they couldn't tame and all that. And they came out there, and the demons finally cried out to Jesus and said, "If you cast us out, suffer us to go into that herd of swine." You know what Jesus said? One word: go. That's all he said. You know what they did? Went. I like that. I can just see that. That amuses me. Those demons just crying for going to pigs. How sad that is. They couldn't have a human body. They wanted a pig body. And so they wanted to go in the pig, and pigs out there, and the pigs, they got wild, ran down the sea, and they drowned. That's a suicide, amen, suey pig. But anyway, they went and drowned in the sea, and there they were. But all Jesus said to them was, go, and they went. He didn't say, now, I plead with you to go. I think it'd be a good thing if you go ahead and get in them pigs over there. He didn't say anything like that. He just simply said, go, and there wasn't a hesitation about it. They went. I say hallelujah, amen. I want you to know Jesus spake and commanded in resurrection too, amen. And I find in the Bible where he went to a little maid, here's again about 12 years of age, went to that little maid that had died. Jairus had sent for him. And when he got there, he went up in where she was and put them all out and said to her, "Maid, arise." And she got up. And he presented her alive. I said, hallelujah. You remember that widow of Nain carrying out her son, going to take him and bury him? And he stopped that funeral possession. Jesus, boy, when Jesus gets around the dead, something's going to happen. Amen. He stopped the funeral possession, and they carrying him on, and told that young man to rise, and presented him back to his mother. And he got up, went back with his mother. And so here you have a young lady just had died. Here you have a young man been dead several hours. Then there's Lazarus laying in a tomb for 3 days. And said, by this time he stinketh. Well, 4 days. By this time he stinketh. And said, you've got to think about this now. I'm sure the devil's telling those people that. And they sent for Jesus. And there's a song been written about that. Jesus died right on time. And they thought he's 4 days late, but he's right on time. And he got there, and he said, roll the stone away. Now again, Jesus wants us to do what we can do. Roll the stone away. They did that, that's all man could do. And before Jesus could get to him, Jesus could have spake the stone out of existence, but he lets man do what man can do and commands us to do, amen. I'll plug this in right here. He commands us to go and to tell people about Jesus. That's rolling away some stones. He tells us, have our lives in line. Live for God. Be faithful and serve the Lord. That's rolling away some stones. People stumble over people to save their Christians' lives. I've had people tell me there's hypocrites down at the church. And I agree with them. I don't argue about that. There are hypocrites down at the church. But thank God, if there's hypocrites, there's got to be some genuine too. Amen. You can't have a hypocrite if you don't have a genuine. Because you wouldn't know what a hypocrite was if it wasn't a genuine. How can you have counterfeit money if you didn't have real money? It wouldn't mean anything. So there's some real down to the house of God too. Hallelujah. Praise God for the real. But that one that's messing around with the world and using bad language and dancing and all that other junk, the devil will take that and throw stumbling blocks and put rocks in the way. It needs to be rolled away and done away. Amen. He said, roll the stone away. And Jesus said, the Bible said with a loud voice, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And never man spake like this man. Why, he began already to decay. He'd been dead 4 days. But Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. No man ever spoken commandments like that. But Jesus did. I say hallelujah. And he came forth with life in him. Amen. I say praise God. Jesus Christ today. Listen to me quickly now. I want you to know here tonight, you may be a young person. You may just be a teenager or a child. But if you know you're lost and without God, I want you to know Jesus can raise you from the dead. He can save you by his grace. You say, preacher, I'm not dead yet. You are spiritually. You're dead spiritually and need to be resurrected. And then a young man, somebody's grown up, a little older. And that young lady, she didn't have marks of skin sin on her life. She wasn't scarred up and marked up or anything like that, but she got raised young. And this young man, he hadn't had too much life like that, had died young, but as a young man, but he got resurrected. But Lazarus, he had been out there so long, he began to see. That's the only difference is in sinners getting saved, how much sin they've been into, how long they've been dead. Longer they're dead, the more scars they carry. But Jesus came by and said, "I come, Lazarus, come forth." And he came forth. Never man spake like this man. Jesus in the night speaking to your heart and saying, "Come forth." And there ain't no place like coming forth to an altar of prayer, asking God to save you and birth you in the family of God. I'm telling you tonight, you need to get saved and born in the family of God. Jesus loves you. We love you. We care. We don't want you to go to hell and be lost without God. And tonight I could get it across to people that no man ever spake like Jesus, and he's the one that can help you. He will help you if you'll let him and just ask him to come into your heart. I'm glad he'll do that. But let me just close with this. No man ever spoke comfort like this man did. I've been called to homes many times, and there'd be a death. There'd be a sorrow. I was talking to my sister today, and phone is not looking good up there, but with her husband, but I don't know when it's going to happen, none of that. Only God knows that. But we said it's in God's hands. It's in God's hands. We try to bring words of comfort. We try to go in and say, "You have my sympathy. We're praying for you." We try to do all that. I found the best way to comfort people is speak to them kindly with words of comfort that you find in your heart that you care, but then get a hold of God in prayer. Let God touch their hearts. Let God help them. No man can speak comfort like God can, like Jesus can. Jesus said over there in Matthew 11:28, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." I'm glad, thank God, he's the one that can speak comfort to you. He's the one that can bring comfort when you need real comfort. He's the one that can do that. He's the only one that can do that. These people here tonight, if I could, I'd come to you and I'd hug you up. And I'd comfort your heart. I'd take away that hurt. I'd do everything I could to make it better for you. I can't do that. But I know one that can. I know one, thank God, that can pick you up in his arms, pull you up to his bosom, say, "I love you, I care for you, I comfort you, bring you some comfort nobody else can do." I'm glad Jesus can do that. Jesus can do that. He's a great comforter. Nobody ever speaks comfort like he speaks comfort, and he does, and I praise him and thank him for it. Jesus said in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Not so I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Thank God. What comfort. What comfort. This old world, the looks of it, doesn't really matter right now. One day we're going home and be with Jesus. And he's going to take care of his children until he gets through with us down here. Then he's going to take us home. Let not your heart be troubled. These people going through troubles and sorrows and heartaches that break your heart. There's nothing you can do except pray. But when I use that word except pray, I didn't mean it to sound that way, because praying is the most important thing. We can pray if we know God. We're saved. But never man spake like this man. You having fears and doubts, and never a man spake like this man. He'll speak that assurance and comfort. He'll help you. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege tonight. Stand in this place and try to preach about a man that never a man spake like this man. And Father, I realize that my words may stutter and stammer and fail, but your word is eternal. You said it accomplished that wherein that you send it. And so, Father, tonight I pray for every person in this house that knows not the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit bring such conviction tonight that they'll come. Let Jesus speak those words, I forgive. I pray, Heavenly Father, for those that are here and their life is not where it needs to be with God. They've been saved, but the joy is not there, and they're missing that reality in their life. I pray that let Jesus help them. I pray, Father, they too could hear those words, I forgive and I restore. Father, then I pray for those who are carrying heavy loads, some personal problems, some difficulties, some in family, some in sickness, some in various ways. But Lord, you know every individual, and I pray they'll come tonight. Lord, this invitation, I pray in Jesus' name the Holy Ghost will take charge of it. Use it for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please, and let's sing. You need to come. It's your opportunity and privilege to do so. Come on. Come on, let Jesus save you tonight. He's calling for you. Why don't you come? Let Jesus save you tonight.
See on the portal.
He'll save you if you'll let him.
He's waiting and watching.
Why don't you come?
Watching.
Why don't you come? Let Jesus do for you
for me
what he wants to do.
Come home.
God's speaking to your heart. Won't you come
home?
Let Jesus do for you what he wants to do.
He who are weary,
come.
Come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner, come home.
Just a minute, we're going to sing another verse. I'm pleading with you just for a moment because God's speaking to hearts. Precious folk here, that if you did what you ought to do, you'd step out and come. People don't mind letting you get out. People don't mind you coming across them to get out. But you need to come. Some of you really care about what's happening. You say, preacher, I don't know what to do. If you just come to an altar prayer, just look at me, get my attention. I'll either help you or somebody will help you. But most of all, Jesus will meet you. If you come in sincerity, let God do what he wants to do. We're going to sing his next verse. I pray you let God help you while we sing.
Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we not his mercies, mercies for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
This will be it, but God's speaking to your heart. God doing your life. Will you come? Sing, Brother Tim.
Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you. And for me, though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Come home. sinner, come home.
I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. This won't save you. It won't make you right with God. But it'll certainly be a step in the right direction for you. If you'd say tonight, not verbally, but just by an uplifted hand, I'm concerned about my life. I'm concerned about eternity. I want you to pray for me. Would you slip your hand up quickly? Take it right back down. Father, seal the words to every heart. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give me a moment to walk down that middle aisle, please.